This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
গোপন প্রেমে কথা রে ও কথা কইতে গেলে ঝরে দুটো আখিরে ঝরে দুটো আখি আমার গোপন প্রেমে কথা রে ও কথা কইতে গেলে ঝরে দুটো আখিরে ঝরে দুটো আখি
We are back on Asia Pacific Forum on WBAI 99.5 FM. That was off the album Real Sugar, or Shottichini, and the track was Gopan Premier by Pranab Bal and David Mills. And we will now turn to Amna, who will bring you a story about anti-nuclear activism.
That's right, Shorav. The next two segments, in fact, we will be focusing on nuclear weaponry. At the end of the hour, we will be talking to Vijay Prashad about the U.S.-India nuclear deal that is now pending in Congress. But first, we'll talk to David Miron, a national organizer for the August 6th campaign, about the campaign's actions and its demands for an end to nuclear weapons and wars. This week, across the country, the August 6th campaign will hold rallies, vigils, teach-ins, and protests to mark the 61st anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We will talk to David Miron about tactics and strategies, as well as why the campaign chose to single out the Bechtel Corporation for its attention. David Miron is an anti-war activist based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is a member of the Steering Committee of United for Peace and Justice and a member of Pittsburgh Organizing Group. Welcome, David.
Hi.
David, can you start by explaining to our listeners what is the August 6th campaign?
Well, actually, there's no campaign as such just yet. There's an ad hoc August 6th coalition which came together working through the United for Peace and Justice Nuclear Disarmament Working Group, and the goal was this year, in the anniversaries of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to put a special focus on Bechtel Corporation. And this idea emerged when a number of the groups in and around the National Nuclear Security Administration sites began to realize that Bechtel, they had one thing in common, and that was Bechtel had been profiting from their sites. And so the idea was to put out a call to action and share resources and encourage actions against Bechtel throughout the anniversaries of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it seems to have turned out because we now have more than 80 actions that have been taking place starting Saturday and continuing through Wednesday. And I'm actually more of a local organizer. The group that I was organizing with was more the Thomas Merton Center Anti-War Committee, which together with seven other groups formed a local ad hoc coalition for the August 6th actions that we did. And one finds it sort of has been the case in each one of these major facilities, such as in Los Alamos and Livermore Labs and so on.
Okay, well, let's back up a little bit and talk about Bechtel. A lot of people are familiar with the name of the corporation. It's been in the mainstream press a lot recently in connection to so-called rebuilding efforts in Iraq. What is Bechtel Corporation, and why has the August 6 Coalition chose to single it out for its attention?
Well, Bechtel Corporation is one of the richest U.S. private corporations and arguably is one of the worst corporations on the planet. And not only, of course, has it plundered Iraq and has received up to nearly $3 billion worth of so-called reconstruction contracts, but it's done a miserable job of reconstruction, so much so that it was just kicked off a hospital reconstruction project in Basra and lost its $50 million contract. But Bechtel has a long and sordid history of environmental abuses, of human rights abuses, of worker abuses, and of gross mismanagement. There's all sorts of reasons why one would point out that Bechtel is, in fact, a horrible corporation that you would not want in your neighborhood, let alone a country that's just been devastated. But perhaps even more horrific about Bechtel when it comes to Iraq is they actually helped lead us to war. George Shultz, former president and a board member of Bechtel, was one of the key people who helped found the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq and helped advocate on the need to go to war with Iraq. And this after his efforts to try and get Saddam Hussein in the 1980s to agree to have Bechtel build an oil pipeline from Iraq to the Gulf of Aqaba. Now, how this enters the anti-nuclear movement picture is really quite simple. From Hiroshima to the Middle East, Bechtel has been the number one purveyor of all things nuclear, mainly in the nuclear industry, where they've perhaps produced and built more nuclear power plants than any other company, but also now increasingly in terms of the nuclear weapons industry and what are called these National Nuclear Security Administration sites. For example, Los Alamos, where it just got a contract to operate in conjunction with the University of California. And here in Pittsburgh, the example here in Pittsburgh is the Battis Atomic Power Laboratory, where it has a $4.2 billion contract to operate. And that's what sort of motivated me as an anti-war organizer here in Pittsburgh. You know, for a while, the last few years, we've been looking around and saying, well, who are the big war profiteers in our region? And there are some that sort of stand out, like, for example, Carnegie Mellon University. But Bechtel sort of looms large, is definitely the number one profiteer with this $4.2 billion contract, and then they actually have a few other small contracts here and there in the Pittsburgh area. But they've, for the longest time, were the operator of the Nevada test site. They have assorted contracts in each and every of these National Nuclear Security Administration facilities, from the Y-12 complex in Oak Ridge to the Pantex plant in Texas, to the Reagan missile site out in the Marshall Islands. And in addition to those national nuclear security sites, they also have been making raking in the cash with nuclear waste cleanup, on waste that they themselves helped create by building nuclear power plants. So, for example, they now have a $1.8 billion contract to help build the Yucca Mountain waste reclamation facility, and they have a huge contract in Hanford where they're working on a project to convert nuclear radioactive waste into glass, but have gone way over budget and have been fined. And who knows, they may be yanked from that project too. But anyway, there's a lot to say about Bechtel, not just in the nuclear arena, but also another thing that brought them in the news in the past couple weeks was the Big Dig, which is, of course, this huge construction project in Boston and tunnels, which some have argued is the most expensive highway ever built at a price tag of $1.8 billion per mile. But what made the news is when one of their tunnels collapsed and killed a 38-year-old woman, and in the, I suppose, the week before our action started focusing on Bechtel, Massachusetts Governor Romney declared that none of the Teeling ceiling bolts that use the same epoxy in the tunnel that collapsed could be considered safe. So there's all sorts of concerns when it comes to Bechtel, and so far on Hiroshima Day, we've had a huge success with actions both here in Pittsburgh and, of course, across the country. And on Wednesday, there are going to be a couple actions at Bechtel corporate offices. Sundays were mostly at nuclear facilities and other Bechtel facilities.
David, let me interrupt you for a second. Before we move to the actions, for those of us who are less familiar with the specifics of nuclear weapons, you repeatedly mentioned national nuclear sites. What are those and what happens there?
Well, first, I encourage folks to visit the website august6.org. That's august6.org. And you can find a list of all the events and some fact sheets and background information about Bechtel and its nuclear empire. But the National Nuclear Security Administration is this semi-autonomous unit of the Department of Energy, which is responsible for the facilities that serve the military's needs. And so, for example, the Los Alamos National Laboratory, which is where the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima was developed, is, you know, the most visible and well-known of these National Nuclear Security Administration sites. And again, Bechtel has a huge contract to operate there. The Pantex plant is a facility which stores plutonium pits used in nuclear warheads, and they have a contract to operate there in Texas. In Lawrence Livermore, another nuclear weapons research facility near the Bay Area, Bechtel is about to put in a bid together with the University of California to operate that facility. Then there's the Oak Ridge and Y-12 facilities where where Bechtel has been involved with environmental management and weapons refurbishing. And again, here in Pittsburgh, they have been operating this facility called the Bettis Atomic Power Laboratory, which its mission is to develop nuclear propulsion for the U.S. Navy. And so Bettis has been responsible for developing the nuclear reactors for the first submarine that can launch nuclear weapons, the first aircraft carrier that can fly planes that gives the U.S. its military superiority, and illustrating most acutely the connection between nuclear in the military arena and nuclear in the commercial sector. Bettis was also the facility where the first commercial nuclear power plant that went into operation was developed, and that was in Shippingport. That was installed in Shippingport that made Pittsburgh the first nuclear-powered city. So the National Nuclear Security Administration are a collection of these multi-billion dollar facilities that are what make the United States the nuclear superpower that it is today.
Right. Okay. Well, why don't we move and talk about the actions that have been planned nationwide? Can you give us a sense of what has been planned and what has already happened in the last 2 days?
Sure. Well, let's start first with what's going to happen on Wednesday, and that's in San Francisco. There are a number of groups have come together to organize a protest at Bechtel's international corporate headquarters, and there's some plans for civil disobedience to take place there. In New York, Code Pink and other groups are organizing a street theater protest at Bechtel's offices in New York. And I guess in a moment I'll tell you the location for that.
We actually have someone on who will be joining us in a moment.
Oh, good.
From
Code
Pink.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure you were able to get someone. Meanwhile, on Sunday, there were actions at the Lawrence Livermore Lab, the Bettis Atomic Power Laboratory, and Los Alamos and Oak Ridge. And I'll just give you an example of what happened in Pittsburgh, which was the culmination of 3 days of education in action. On Sunday, we started off with a Peace and Justice Festival at a park that borders on the property of Bettis. And there, after some music and puppet shows and a few speakers, we then marched from this park to the main entrance at Bettis and along the perimeter of the facility. And in front of the facility, we then had a die-in where, as people were lying down and their chalk arms being inscribed to denote or represent the shadows of Hiroshima, we read a statement that was written specifically for us by a survivor of the bombing of Hiroshima. So that's what happened in Pittsburgh. Again, there's details of all the actions that took place that are on the August 6th website. And, of course, later in the week you can find out more details about what's happened also yesterday, today, and what's going to be happening tomorrow.
Thanks, David, for giving us some context about the current campaign against nuclear weapons. For more information, folks, check out www.august6.org. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
We now have Alice Slater on the phone to discuss local anti-nuclear actions. Alice Slater is an anti-nuclear activist based in New York City. She works with Abolition 2000 New York, Code Pink, and United for Peace and Justice. Welcome, Alice.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Can you start off by just telling our listeners about what has been going on in New York this week with regard to anti-nuclear activism?
Well, we've been outreaching to all of our local New York City peace groups and anti-nuclear groups to come to the Bechtel headquarters at 21 East 40th Street tomorrow at 12 noon. That's at Madison Avenue. And we'll be having signs and street theater, and we're wearing pink for the Code Pink ladies, and I believe Jonathan Tessini will be there. He's running against Hillary in the primary. He is an anti-war candidate, and he's running in the Democratic primary, and he'll be there as well. So we hope a lot of people will come down, because we have to show our country that it's time to give up nuclear weapons, nuclear power. Another thing that was significant for our demonstration is that August 9th is Indigenous Peoples Day, and the Indigenous people have really taken the worst beating in this country in terms of their land was used for mining uranium, for testing it. Now we want to store all the waste on sacred Shoshone land at Yucca Mountain, Nevada. So we feel like we're making connections, and another connection we're making about Bechtel is it's one of the real corporate marauders in this corporate globalization. They were kicked out of Bolivia for privatizing the water supply. The Indigenous people rose up and drove them out when they were selling people back their own water for more than they paid for food. So Bechtel's really a bad actor on the world stage, and we have to start looking behind what's driving these terrible nuclear proliferation all over the world.
What is the extent of anti-nuclear activism in New York?
Well, we have a very vital network of, Code Pink, that's not their prime issue. It's Iraq, but they've always been, locally, we've been working to close down Indian Point. And they've always supported the Abolition 2000 Network, which is, we have about 100 organizations in this local New York network, many different peace groups. And the Abolition 2000 Network is global in 95 countries working for a treaty to eliminate nuclear weapons.
Okay, thanks, Alice. For folks that want to get more involved, what can they do?
Well, they can look at Code Pink New York website and find us there, and and come tomorrow, 21 East 40th Street on Madison Avenue, 12 noon. Let's have a real good turnout.
And are you asking folks to bring anything with them?
Well, dress in pink and bring signs, you know, and be imaginative and creative.
Okay, thanks, Alice Slater, Local Anti-Nuclear Action. You're listening to Asia Pacific Forum on 99.5 FM in New York City. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back with Vijay Prashad to talk about the India-U.S. nuclear deal.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.